Chapter 41. Demon Reach allowed me to sense Billy and Georgia slinking closer, and to feel the uncertain sense of excitement that could have been tension or fear or anger coming from them. It had a much more vague idea of the emotions of the wardens, but I could tell that they weren't eager to start a fight with me. Which made me want to laugh. I mean, seriously. One-on-one, sure, maybe I could have been a handful for any of them, but there were three members of the senior council there, any one of which could have tied me into knots. And they had me outnumbered 5-1 beyond that. And then it hit me. They were dealing with something far more dangerous than me, Harry Dresden, whose battered old Volkswagen was currently in the city impound. They were dealing with the potential demonic Dark Lord Nightmare Warlock they'd been busy fearing since I turned 16. They were dealing with the wizard who had faced the heirs of Kemler riding a zombie dinosaur and emerged victorious from a fight that had flattened Morgan and Captain Lucio before they had even reached it. They were dealing with the man who had dropped a challenge to the entire senior council and who had then actually showed, apparently willing to fight, on the shores of an entirely too creepy island in the middle of a freshwater sea. Granted, I technically was that person, but they had no idea how close several of those calls had been. They didn't know the small details, the quirks of fate, or the assists from allies I probably didn't deserve that allowed me to shamble out of those clouds of insanity in more or less one piece. They just knew that I was the one still standing, and that fact inspired a healthy and rational fear. More than that, they were afraid of what they didn't know I could do. And none of them knew that I would so much rather be back in my apartment reading a good book and drinking a cold beer. I didn't move when Listens to Wind made his statement. I just stood there as if I wasn't much impressed. The council had evidently sent the three senior members as a kind of quorum, and I would think that the word of two of them would be enough to decide a course of action. But the oldest of the wardens there, a large man with a big black beard whose name was Bjorg, or Jorg, or Bjorn, definitely Scandinavian, turned to look at Ebenezer. The wizard of the Ozarks stood looking at me, a small smile on his face. I recognized the smile. When I'd first gone to live with him, after I'd killed my foster father, we would go into town every week for supplies. A gang of teenage boys, bored, reacted to the presence of a new boy with typical adolescent thoughtlessness. One of them had tried to get me to fight him. At the time, I remember being annoyed at the distraction from my day, because I had just wiped out a major demon and a former warden of the White Council in a pair of fair fights. Local teenage bullies were really kind of beneath my notice. They were kids playing a game, and I had grown older very quickly. I could have killed them, all of them, without too much trouble, but the very idea was laughable. It would have been like using a flamethrower to clean cobwebs out of the house. I'd stood there, just looking at them, while they tried to tease me into fighting. I hadn't moved or said anything or done anything. I just stood there, in a wall of silence and stillness, until that silence had become heavier and heavier. They had eventually been pushed back by it, and I had simply walked past them. And I was doing the same thing again, letting the silence fuel their uncertainty. I met Ebenezer's gaze, and we both smiled faintly in acknowledgement of the memory.
"Well, gentlemen," Ebenezer said, turning to face the wardens, "you've heard the will of the council, such as it is, but you should be advised that since you'll be doing something foolish at the behest of someone acting foolish, I won't be assisting you." My's head snapped around to focus on Ebenezer.
"McCoy?"
Ebenezer bowed his head to her.
"Wizard Mai, I would advise you not to seek a quarrel with the young man. He's a fair hand in a fight."
The old woman lifted her chin haughtily.
"He was not truly your apprentice. You kept watch over him for a mere 2 years."
"And came to know him," Ebenezer said.
He turned to eye Listens to Wind.
"What did that raccoon pup you had think of him? You go on about what good judges of character young animals can be. Is he the sort of man who would involve himself in that kind of plot? You know the answer." listens to wind, shook his head tiredly. It isn't about that, and you know it.
If you do not assist us in subduing him, Mai said, her voice crisp and thrumming with tension, it could be considered treason, Wizard McCoy.
I am assisting you, Ebenezer said, by advising you to avoid conflict. He paused and said, you might try asking him.
Excuse me? Mai said.
Asking him, Ebenezer said. He hooked a thumb in one strap of his overalls. Ask him politely to come with you back to Edinburgh. Maybe he'd cooperate. Don't bother, sir, I said. I won't. Ancient Mai, rumbled Warden Bjork. If you would please return to the boat, we will see to this. I remained just as I'd been standing and hoped that the others would be arriving soon. I didn't want to start up the dance music until everyone had taken the floor, but if the wardens pressed me, I might need to.
Ancient Mai, Warden Yorgi repeated, do you wish us to...
He didn't get to finish the phrase before there was a deafening roar and a helicopter swept over the hillside behind us, flying about an inch and a half above the treetops. It soared past us and then banked around in a turn over the lake, only to return and hover 30 feet above the shoreline, maybe 100 yards away. In the movies, special forces guys come zipping down on lines. I've even been the guy on a line once, sort of, though I was more sack of meal than Navy SEAL. But when the people jumping off the helicopter are vampires, you don't bother with a lot of lines. Or any lines at all.